For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Bring Your Own, a catch-all bookish most of the time podcast. I'm Brandy.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Kayla.
And today we are taking a look back. We are going to be looking at books from our past that we rated 5 stars and seeing if they hold up. This is an idea that we've had for a while and we just have been waiting to make it work. And I think now is the time. We're excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interested to see.
Yeah, especially because a lot of top 10 lists are about to start coming out. We're going to have one towards the end of the year where we share our collective top 10 and then our individual top 10s. So it's cool to see like what were our favorites and if they're still favorites or if we look back on them, we're like, what the hell were we thinking?
But before we get started, what are we reading? What are we drinking?
I obviously have my water today, but I also have some apple juice. I feel like a child, but I love apple juice.
So, Daniel loves juice.
Good.
It's personally okay. Wait, question. What's your guys' favorite fruit juice? Like, do you have a favorite?
Apple.
It's okay. Apple juice, but specifically on a Southwest plane.
Okay.
It tastes better in the sky. I don't know.
Is it like how like McDonald's has the better Coke, like the spicy Coke? You know, Southwest has the best apple juice.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, it's just something about being in that pressurized cabin. Like,
yeah, so good. The only time I drink ginger ale is in the sky as well.
That's true too. I love sky ginger ale.
Yeah.
I love apple juice. I also love cranberry juice. But
Cranberry juice is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm not a fan. Daniel loves cranberry juice though.
No, actually, I lie. I don't only drink ginger ale in the sky. I drink cranberry ginger ale during around Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yep. So good. So good. But that's what I'm currently drinking. And then I literally like just finished like 10 minutes before we got on Make the Season Bright by Ashley Herring Blake on audio. Kristen DiMercurio, like we talked about last episode, she's great. I really liked it. I actually think I like Iris Kelly better, I think.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
I rated them the same, but it's still my favorite.
Okay.
Make the Season Bright is.
Yeah. But it's not like in that series, right? It's like a totally, it's like a standalone. So I just finished that, and then I am going to start, I think, on audio. It's called For She Is Wrath by Emily Varga. It's a gender bent Count of Monte Cristo retelling, which I'm super interested in because I really love the Count of Monte Cristo.
The sandwich?
The one from Cheddar's? I always used to get that at Cheddar's. I know it's not only from Cheddar's, but
Cheddar's.
Ah! Brandy, you don't know what Cheddar's is? Oh my god. Another restaurant, add it to the list. Cheddar's is so good. Brandy.
They're honey butter croissants? Are you kidding?
Literally picture the best croissant you've ever had in your life, but slathered in like the most tasteful honey butter. It's so good. And Cheddar's is like really cheap. Like every time I go there, I'm like, oh, you get a lot of food and it's not that much money. It's a really nice, just like sit down restaurant.
To be clear, yeah, like I said, I know the Count of Monte Cristo sandwich, not the Count of Monte Cristo sandwich. It's not just a Cheddar's thing, but I would get it mostly at Cheddar's whenever I would have that sandwich. Anyway, that's, I think, what I'm going to read next. I haven't read anything with my eyeballs. I looked back in 9 days, so it's been a while since I've read something.
Welcome
with my
to
eyeballs.
My life.
Well, Brandy, then, what about you?
I actually have read 3 eyeball books in the last month, which is more than I have in the past few months. But yeah, I was on an audio bender for like 4 months. So I think it's good to take breaks. I am currently drinking a hot caramel latte, which I'm very excited about. It tastes delicious. And I actually just last night dived back into First Time Caller by BK Borson. I started reading that at the beginning of September. I put it on pause because, like I said, I read three eyeball books in between starting that and picking it back up right now. I soft DNF'd it. I actually like removed it from my Goodreads and Storygraph because I was like, I don't want to just have this sitting here. It stresses me out to just have it sitting there. But I picked it back up. I am not as far into that book as I thought I was. I thought I was at like 40-ish percent. I was at like 20. So I read about 15% last night and I am enjoying it. If I get that feeling again, like I just don't want to pick it up, I will probably soft DNF again until the audiobook comes out. But I want to give it another shot because there's a couple of physical books that – a couple arcs that I just got on my Kindle that I'm really excited about. And I want to read those, but I do want to finish this first if I can. So that is what I'm physically reading. I am also listening to Chain of Thorns, the very last book in the Shadowhunters series until I'm caught up on like, the official canon books. I understand what people say about it starting to drag. I'm at like 60% right now.
That's where, like, that's literally where it starts. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that like in a typical Cassie Clare book, the action happens at 70%-ish around there. So I'm going to be interested to see. Right now, I just want to like shake all of them a little bit and be like, can you just get the fuck together? But I am enjoying it still. It's still a good time. But yeah, that is, that's what I'm doing.
And it doesn't help that, like, I think I gave that book like 4.25 stars. I still love it because, like, oh my God, like, I love it. But the villain in it, I can't take him seriously. I'm just like, shut up. Like, especially because I met all the other villains after I met him, like Sebastian and stuff. So I'm like, bro, nothing.
Like, Sebastian's running nothing. Laps. I have a note app note of my rankings for every Shadowhunter like scenario. Like I have series, books, FMCs, MMCs, side characters, big bads. He is my dead ass fucking last big bad. Yes. Below the one from Infernal Devices, and that's crazy because that I can't even take that guy seriously. I'm like, you're pussy.
But he was still like fun, you know? Like he's clever.
And at least like we didn't really know who it was until like book two in that series.
But this one we know. And you're like, and he's a loser.
Loser. But yeah, I'm excited. And then I probably will take a little Shadowhunters break before I do the Bane Chronicles.
Yeah, I still got to do those. But I'm like, I have like a year, you know, like then I'll be done. Okay. I am drinking. Kayla's like, I'm drinking an iced coffee and I am listening to on PRH, Is She Really Going Out With Him, which was a Kayla Ann recommendation. It's very cute so far. I'm like almost halfway. I like when a book is going to go exactly the way I know it's going to go. Like my brain's like, oh, okay, I know this story, but like it's still fun. The characters are fun. And I'm also 22% into One Dark Window, so we can keep going.
I'm so grateful that you saved her to tell her that until this moment. Thank you for letting me bear witness to that.
It's so funny. I've been going back and forth on whether I was going to do it, but then I was like, oh, I'll give her. We just talked about Shadowhunters. I'll give her a bone. Yeah, I'm 22% in.
My heart rate just went up a little bit.
Yeah. Well,
that's all I'm gonna say. When did you start it?
I started it on Tuesday of this week, and then my week went. I had a really weird week, and so I haven't been reading as much of it. But yeah, I'm 22% in. So,
if you need fan art, let us know.
I saw Kayla posted some on her story. And so then I kind of figured out, I know who she's going to end up with now. So I'm just like, okay.
Enjoy. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out. Yeah, I don't think.
No. But I just like, I wasn't thinking about who she was going to end up with. And then I saw that fan art and then I was like, oh, okay.
I would say it's definitely more of like a subplot though.
I think.
What?
I remember texting you and being like, does she end up with the monster? And you're like, oh. No.
I thought that too. I thought that like it was going to be like a Belladonna thing.
Yeah.
You know? But I quickly learned like about 10% and I was like, oh no, This isn't like that kind of thing.
I mean, don't tell me he's not like. I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's like human, you know, like no, he's like has like monster qualities, like he's a monster, right? Don't tell me.
But not telling. Don't tell her shit.
No, I won't.
It's funny though because I've been listening to Florence and the Machine dropped an album. It's like a live recording of her album Lungs. It's like her first album.
So good.
It sounds like. I'm like, holy fuck, like she's meant to sing with an orchestra. And I was like, you would think with how much I love Florence and like her music and her lyrics that I would be like more into fantasy, because that's she's just talking about like mythical shit all the time. Mm-hmm. And like falling in love with like monster. I was listening to her song Rabbit Heart and I was like, I should read that Played It Prisoner series, because that's about falling in love with King Midas, and I love that song about King Midas. So
I DNF'd that first book.
Oh really?
Yeah,
I feel like people really love it or they really hate it.
Brandy, did you know
what
that you started?
No, I found out just now with
you. I didn't tell. Well, the only person that knew was Monica, if you're listening. I told Monica that I was reading it because she had sent me a voice memo about something else, and she asked me what I was reading, and I was like, oh, I just started this, don't tell Kayla. That's like my one stipulation. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm reading it. I started it physically at first, and then I wanted to read it before I was going to bed, so I switched it over to my Kindle. But yeah, I mean, 22% in. There you go.
Wow.
I'm scared. But okay, let's move on. Next. So like we said at the beginning, we're going to kind of go through both our 2021 faves and some of our 2022 faves. So we're a couple years out from both of those. And before we actually jump into the specifics about what books we had, I first wanted to ask you guys, how do you think your taste has changed over time?
I think I know what I like in books more now. And I've read so many incredible books over the last 4 years that I settle way less than I used mm-hmm. to. I used to be content just like binging books that now I might call mediocre. Whereas I have just read so many incredible books, and I know there are so many incredible books out there that like I don't want to read mid books.
I would agree. I think I don't want to say that like a lot of the books that I read back then were mid, because that's not true, because some of those books are still like my favorites of like all time, you know. Mm-hmm. But I definitely agree. I think I know what I want in a book now. I think that I was so content to just pick anything up. Anything romance up, you know, or like I was like content to just sit through pages and pages and pages of smut that didn't really need to be there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that I don't want to say we've matured, because it sounds like we're like putting things down, but that's, you know,
I think we can say that we've matured into our own taste. You know what sure. I mean? Because yeah. there are people out there who's the books that we love, they would call mid, and then like the books that they love, we would call mid. But I think like, I don't know. I feel like I've just grown within my own taste way more.
Sure.
Yeah. I think with romance specifically, like I went really deep and now I'm clawing my way back out, where I'm like, all right, I don't need to. I think it's still going to be my primary genre always, but it brings me less joy, which is really sad, because I think for a while I was like, yes, 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 yes. But now mm-hmm. I'm like, no, why are you doing that? Why are you writing that? That's why, like with the Sophie Cousins book, I'm like, oh, I love this. I love knowing exactly. It's well written and I know how it's going to go. But sometimes, I don't know. But looking back on my list, I always have good taste. So I don't regret any of the books on my list. I think if you're a reader and you're posting your books, you should always think you have good taste. I mean, you can say yeah. like it's changed.
Yeah, no,
like, you should never looking be at, like, oh.
No, looking at my list, I don't regret it mm-hmm. at all, but like I just know that if I were to go back and read some today, then I probably wouldn't give them 5 stars. Maybe
yes,
not all of them, but some of them.
Agreed. You know, there's even some books that I gave 5 stars a couple years ago that I would still give 5 stars today. I'm like, I'm surprised that that's on my top 10 list of that year, having read 180 something books that year. Really? I'm surprised. Well, I don't know. We'll talk about it in a little bit more. There's just a couple where I'm like, damn, that's crazy. But I would yeah. still give it 5 stars.
I'm dead ass. I'm looking at I was like shook, like looking at both my lists. I'm like, no, these all like hold up. So I'm pretty proud.
What do you look for in a book now versus what you might have a few years ago? We kind of touched on it a little bit, but I definitely think I fell into the trap of like, I want smut in a book. You know, I think a lot of people did. Yeah. And I, you know, and if you want that, then that's totally your prerogative. I think for me, it just has to make sense with the story and mm-hmm. it has to be, you know, relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say same with that. I think mm-hmm. I just look for, I want a good story.
Yeah.
Like, and good characters. I don't want like sketches of characters. I don't want like, I don't know. I just want good. And it doesn't have to be the best written thing. It just has to be good. And I want to know that the author, like, I want to feel their heart in it. And I want them to be speaking on something. And I think when I say that, people think like a topic, like a, you know, like a stance. No, like, what's your thesis with this? Like, what did you hope to accomplish with this book besides like making money? Like, you know, if that makes sense. Like, why this character? Why this plot? I don't know.
That makes sense to me. I would say agreed with the smut part. And then also, like, I want a book that's going to make me feel something, like, mm-hmm. quite deeply. And I want it to, like, affect me. Because I've read a lot of books in the last 4 years that I have not thought about and will not think mm-hmm. about until I see that title, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the books that – a lot of the books on this list are books that, like, made me feel so deeply that – I carry them with me, which sounds so fucking dramatic, but there are so many moments where like a book will just pop into my head. And that's one of my favorite things about reading is being able to take these stories that we've read and loved and cared about and that somebody crafted with their brain and mm-hmm. being able to be like just thinking about it in the middle of the day or something will happen to me and I'll think about a character. And I think that's what I look for now. I want to be affected.
Yeah. Same.
I don't want to be a passive participant in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys think you're harsher with 5 stars now than you were back then? Because me, personally, I gave them out like candy.
Yeah. You're really harsh with your 5 stars.
For 2 years or like a year and a half, I wasn't rating, which I think really helped. So like we're only sharing 2021 and 2022. I have no ratings for these books, you know? I mean, some of them I do now because I've reread them since. But yeah, my motto back then was like I either liked it or I didn't, and there was like a scale to liking it obviously, but like
mm-hmm. so then it so like for your favorites of like 2021 for example, like mm-hmm. did you make like a video on TikTok or something about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you say like back then if somebody asked you are these 5 stars, would you just say yes because they made it into your top 10?
Yeah. Okay. And like some in 2021 I would say like the first half of 2021 I was still rating, but the second half of 2021 I wasn't. But all of these, I would say, are 5-star. Maybe one, if I reread, I would be like, maybe not a 5-star book, but like a 5-star feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think once I say what that book is, you'll be like, oh, okay. But yeah.
That's how I feel about some of the books on mine too. Maybe not mm-hmm. a 5-star book, but a 5-star feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I get them out probably at the same rate. It's just I have a different set of criteria now. Like I feel like I haven't shut the fuck up about Slow Dance, but I cannot overstate you guys how much reading that book was such an experience that literally changed a genre of books for me. Like when I read that, I was like, why am I settling for anything less in romance than the feelings I'm having while reading Slow Dance? The type of characters, the story, the emotions that I'm feeling while reading. Like it was such an experience, and that's why I haven't stopped talking about it in 8 months. Ever since I read that in February, if a book doesn't make me feel close to what I was feeling there, I'm not giving it 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's why I have way more 4.75s this year.
Yeah. Kayla, why do you think you're harsher? Because I feel like some people on, at least like this is just me like being an observer online, like there's like a merit that comes with 5 stars, and I think people don't want to like ruin that merit. And I'm like, but who set that up? Like, because you know, like people won't rate a book 5 stars for like dumb stuff sometimes, but everything else is good. And I'm just, I don't know, it's just interesting to me, like why.
I think for me I'm chasing a lot of what Brandy is talking about like mm-hmm. just that 5-star feeling that I get. Sometimes it literally is just a feeling. Like there are so many books that I've rated, for example, 4.5 stars this year yeah. that I thought were really well written or they
oh,
were
the
really
X-Files.
Good. No, I did move that one up. Just based on how I was thinking and feeling about it like afterwards.
Yes, yes, you know? Yes.
So I think that that is an indicator for me whether or not something is 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just there's only a select few books, I think, for me this year that have given me that feeling. So that's kind of, I think, why I'm a little harsher.
But back in the day when you would give it out like candy, are you then saying you used to get that feeling a lot more? Or it was just like the criteria changed?
I think a little bit of both, because I think it was like 2021 was my first year back like fully underrating. I did read at the end of 2020, but not nearly as many books. And I think because I had just gotten like back into it, I was so excited, you know, discovering this world again, you mm-hmm. know? And so I was really back into the romance genre. I was back into fantasy, you know, and discovering so many books that had been popular that I hadn't read before. So I think I was just like really excited. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of how it felt for me.
I think also like, you don't know your threshold until you break it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So like there was a book that I absolutely loved, and then there would be a book I would love more, and then a book I would love more, and then a book I would love more. Mm-hmm. And like my standards kept rising because mm-hmm. my threshold for how much I thought I could love a book kept breaking.
Like the goalpost keeps moving kind of. And so that's, but I think now that I've, you know, been reading for several years now, I know where I stand in terms of what I want to give a 5-star or something that's close but not quite, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of where I'm at now.
And Kendra, I think of the three of us, you have read the most consistently in your adult life. I know you also mm-hmm. started reading way more back in 2020, but I don't think I had finished a book between the years of like 2016 and 2020. So I wonder if that wasn't such a drastic shift for you as it was for Kayla and I in those like couple of years.
Yeah, I also think romance, adult romance was like just a whole new genre for me in 2020. So I guess like kind of going what you like when you first discover it, you're just like, yeah, like this is great. Cause like you didn't know, you know, like what else was possible. Mm-hmm. And then once you keep, I was saying this earlier, like I went too far. So like once I keep diving, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to go like that far. Cause then you run into like repetition and you can say, well, that author did that better. And like this book did this better or vice versa. So yeah, I think I've always, I think I might have been harsh, like, cause I would use Goodreads on and off in college. I think I used to be harsher on my ratings. Like, and I think now that like I understand the concept of like a 0.5-star and mm-hmm. like all that, like I was like, oh, okay, it's a 4, or like, you know, I don't know. But yeah.
In your guys' opinion, what does it take for a book to like not age well, other than maybe the author is actually like problematic, you know, that's something. But mm-hmm. you might look back on a book that you gave 5 stars and you wouldn't do that now.
Yeah, like what has changed?
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I think it just kind of goes back to our threshold now. We expect something different from a romance book or just a book in general.
Even if it's not a 5-star book, that goes back to like the feeling thing. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think any book I've ever given 5 stars, like I would like discredit. Besides acknowledging like, hey, like maybe the person that wrote this like is not the best person and like there's problematic content, whatever, besides that point. But yeah, I don't know. I've never had a book drastically like fall from grace in my head in terms of like the content, me viewing the content.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think definitely not like a fall from grace. I will say there have been a few books that I like read in 2021 that I have reread since then mm-hmm. that definitely isn't like dropping from like a 5-star to a 3-star or anything like that. But I'm like, I probably, if I read this for the first time this year, would not be giving it 5 stars. But I have never gone back and changed a Goodreads or a Storygraph rating to lower than what I rated it initially. I can think of 3 books off the top of my head that I've reread and been like, I know what I was feeling when I read this. And like you said, it was a 5-star feeling. Past me would have been standing on business with that. However, I wouldn't. One of them I'll talk about. Two of them we're not going to talk about today. So I will say I reread The Love Hypothesis. I initially rated that 5 stars and I probably wouldn't if I read it today. And Funny You Should Ask by Alyssa Sussman. That book is still a high 4 for me. But when I was re-listening, I was like, oh, this isn't the 2024 Brandy probably would not have given this 5 stars.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely not any book that like I'm looking at on my list of favorites from those years and be like, oh my god, this actually is a 3 star, like you said. Like, no, if I were to lower them at all, it'd be like maybe like a 4.5, you know, nothing crazy that I would drop it to.
Yeah, I play around with my ratings more with like 4s and 3, like low 4s and 3s more. Like I'll drop those or raise those more, but I'd say if it's like a 4.5 and above, it's not going anywhere. Or if it's 4.5, it might go up to a 5, you know? Like,
yeah. And I would call anything I rate 4.5 and up is a book I love. Like, I would say I love those books. So it's, there's less in my brain that's like, I need to change that. Yeah, I get what you mean, Kendra. Should we look at our past list now?
Let's do it. Let's, I'm excited.
Start with 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can go. I made a top 5 list. I did not, which is insane to me because I know that Kayla has like a million on her list.
Yeah.
I think I was so new to Bookstagram. Oh my god, you guys, my Bookstagram anniversary is on November 9th, I think.
Oh, oh my cute. Gosh. What oh my god, what a day. November 9th.
Colleen. Yeah, so I should double check. It might be today. Anyways, I started my Bookstagram at the very end of 2021, even though I had been reading for, you know, over a year at that point. I don't think I really knew what end of year lists looked like. So I just did a list of 5. But here's the thing. I did not put Akamath on there because I was very much like scared to be like other girls at that moment on Bookstagram. I was like, everybody's talking about Akamath. That would have absolutely been my number one. That book like shook my foundation. I bought fan art for the first time in my life
with
that
book. I did too. Like, oh my god.
That's dude, it was the Jess read or Jess sketches or whatever. The poster of the entire Night Court.
Yes. It's right there.
That's so
if
funny.
If I had made a list in 2020, it would have been on mine too. And then I would have immediately like my
But yeah.
Which so we acknowledge like SJM. Yes. I'm not the best person. But those books, everyone's read them. So we're not going to deny that.
Mm-hmm. So that would have been on there. And then I had in, they were ranked. So I'll read them in my 5-to-1 order. Number 5 of the year, I had The Song of Achilles, which I think absolutely stands up. I think that book is beautiful and incredible. And I haven't been able to bring myself to reread it because of the emotions I felt while I was reading it. Number 4, I had People We Meet on Vacation.
Oh,
yeah, which stands up. I've reread that book. I've read that book a total of 3 times, cover to cover, not just even counting the times I've just flipped through my highlights. 5 stars every time. Love in Other Words was at number 3, one of my all-time favorite books.
I thought it would be higher than that. I thought that would be like,
okay, this is the part where I'm like, this crazy number 1 and 2 being above the 3 that I just listed is the crazy part to me. So Love in Other Words fully stands up for me. I've reread that book a million times. Like, I love that book. You know that quote from Pride and Prejudice that's like, if I loved you any less, I might be able to speak about it more? That's how I feel about Love in Other Words. That's how I feel about a lot of books, but Love in Other Words especially. Number 2 was Exodus by Kate Stewart. Which, again, this is an author who has done some shitty stuff and is really not my place to speak on whether what she has done to try and make up for it is good or anything like that. So please be aware that Kate Stewart has controversy, and I don't think I feel comfortable recommending this book to anybody, but in 2021, I was obsessed with Exodus, which is the second book in the Ravenhood series. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's a 5-star book, but definitely a 5-star feeling. when I read it for the first time. I'm laughing because like that book being above like three stunning books that I just listed makes me giggle. And then my number one book of 2021 was From Luke Off with Love by Mariana Zapata.
Aww.
Really?
Yes. Number which one. I put you above. Know,
I think that's okay.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, it's a great book.
That's a lot of people's like favorite book.
Yeah. And it's like it's a great book. That is actually the third book when I was just talking about three books that I can think of off the top of my head that I've reread that I probably wouldn't rate 5 stars again. I just reread Lukov last month. 5-star feeling? Absolutely. Would I rate that book 5 stars in 2024? No. But I have such a vivid memory of a girl that I went to college with, one of my really good friends from college. She followed my Bookstagram. She's one of my first people who followed my Bookstagram. And she texted me in like a couple months into 2022. And she said, Brandy, I just read From Lukov with Love. That cannot be at Brandos.books number one book of 2021.
Oh, dang.
She was like, love you. That book was ass. And I was like, Brittany, if you're listening, you hurt my feelings real bad.
Oh my God.
It's fine. If you knew Brittany, you would be laughing with me. Okay, like, it was fine.
Okay.
Yes, I love her. She is the most honest and straightforward person you'll ever meet in your life. But I had to laugh when I was putting this list together because I think I went and like archived my post after that. I was like, oh no. Now I just know, like, I know Brittany. I understand people's taste in books so much more now that if Brittany would have asked me today, should I read that book? I'd be like, you would hate that book. No, that book is not for Brittany. Anyways, those are my top five. Akamath should have been in there, but those are my top five of 2021. I would say that Love in Other Words, People We Meet on Vacation, and The Song of Achilles fully stand up for me. The other two were maybe 5-star feelings and maybe not 5-star books.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good list.
I think so
that's
too.
That's a good list.
Yeah. And five is hard to narrow down to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure like why I chose that. I don't know why I did five.
So. Yeah. My list has only gotten like I did top 10 2 years in a row. And then last year I did 15 because I read more. And then now this year, I don't know what the number is going to be.
Top 27.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Like oddly specific.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kendra, let's hear yours.
Okay, so I had 10 from 2021. I had a lovely TikTok all about my faves from that year. 2021
I remember
was really
watching it.
Yeah, it was a really fun reading year for me because like that was the first year I started TikTok, and so everything was like new and exciting, and like I was like building community at the same time. So a lot of these books I think helped build my community even more. I feel like my top 10 is not going to be like all that surprising. I think all these books hold up. My number 10 was The Bully by Sophie Lark. This was, I remember, a late addition to this list because I had just finished the series back in like November.
You're reading them in like December, right?
Well, it was like October, November. Okay. Like time. The Bully is a good, this is the book that I was talking about earlier where like maybe if I reread it, it wouldn't be a 5-star book, but like it's part of a series too. So it's like you have to have that build up of like meeting the character of Dean. I think it's Sophie Lark's. It's my favorite book of hers that I've read. I haven't read anything else from her outside of the Mafia series, which I don't know if I will. I don't know. We'll see. I think the reviews have been more mixed on her other stuff than it has for this. Mm-hmm. So number 9 was 7 Days in June.
Great
That's
book.
Like, beautiful. I mean, amazing. 8 was All Roads Lead Here. Maybe that's another book where it wouldn't be a 5-star again, but that reading experience was like incredible. It was me in that book for like a whole weekend in my little crappy studio apartment in LA. And like, it was a weekend that Summer Walker's album had just come out too. That was a good weekend. I'm listening to Summer Walker's like sing about like shitty men. And then I'm like fucking reading about one of the best men, like ever written. So, and then my number, 7 was A Million Junes by Emily Henry, which is one of her best books ever. Number 6, One True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid. This is another late edition. I had just read it and I was like, holy fuck. Like, I still think about that book all the time. I didn't watch the movie because everyone said it was ass and they like made it too like rom-com-y. And I'm like, you don't take a story that serious and make it a rom-com. That, like, actually breaks my heart.
That's wild.
My number five was Clap When You Land by Elizabeth Acevedo, which is, like, a powerhouse of a book. Kayla, you should read it. It's pretty good. It's a really
it's quick read, too. And the audio is stunning.
It'll hurt your heart. It's written completely in verse, and it's really great. Like, I love Elizabeth Acevedo. I didn't like her adult debut, but Clap When You Land was pretty good. And then number four was People. Number three was the absolute latest edition. Like, I know this now. I keep saying it, like, all these late ads. Like, but this was the latest. What do you think it is?
Sinner.
Yes. Yes. I read Sinner in December, and it completely... Sinner got me into audiobooks because I read it physically on my phone. I remember, like, I just have such a vivid memory of, like, laying in my bed on my phone, like, scrolling. And then I think it was Tanya who was like, have you heard the audio? And I was like, no. And she sent me a snippet. And I was blessed with the one and only Jacob Morgan speaking into my ear, aka Zachary Weber, for the first time. And I was like, fuck. And I could not stop listening to it. Like, it was like on repeat for weeks. I love it. So that was number three.
I remember so specifically watching your TikToks when this was happening. Like, I remember you reading it. And then I remember you being like, you guys, you have to listen to the audio. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yep. It was just. Yeah, Kayla, because that was around the time that you and I were talking a lot on Instagram. We hadn't exchanged numbers yet, and then I told you to read it too. So, like,
yes, and I read it like immediately.
I read it in January, and that was one of the first times we exchanged voice memos too. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow, Chambel.
I know what your number two and one is. That's easy.
Okay, guess.
No, well, number two is Simple Wild.
Yes.
And number one is Beach Read.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which is funny because, like, I've definitely thought about Jonah and Calla more than I've thought about January and Gus, but that's just because there's more content with them than there is with January and Gus. But, like, yeah, Beach Read is, like, I need to re- I've haven't reread it in a very long time, so I need to reread it. That's just Emily Henry. Sweetie, take a seat, hold my hand, you can do it. Her next book, I don't know, we'll see. I don't want Beach Read 2.0. if I want a Beach Read 2.0, I would just read Beach Read. That book sounds like Beach Read. But we'll see. I'll trust the process. I will be applying for that arc regardless.
And I will be
like this. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Kayla. Yeah, yours are all still really great. They're all great.
That's what I was saying. Like, this is whole time.
Yeah. So I didn't, like, fully start, like, reading all the time till April of 2021. And from April to December, I read 112 books.
Slay. Oh my God. That's so much.
I know.
I read more books in 2021 than I have ever since then.
Really?
I
don't know how many books did you read in 2021, Brandy?
192.
Dang.
Holy fuck. I was reading, like, I think I got like 116. And then 2022 was like nothing. Like, it was 96, which is like a lot still. Oh my God. So much. But
yes.
Yeah. Wow. I've only gone up since then, though.
2022 was 192. I apologize,
but still, that's like,
yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, that was nuts.
Were you mentally feeling okay?
No, I was miserable at my job. Like, we were really ready to get out of LA at that point. Like, I was, and you know what it was too, is I was spending thousands of dollars on short small town audiobooks and burning through like one a day. Like, I remember I read 25 books in March of 2022.
Wow.
Damn.
That's in, like, that's, and I, guys, I was paying for all my audiobooks. Like, I spent money. I don't, like, don't even want to look at how much money I spent on audiobooks that year. That's insane.
Yeah. And now, Kayla, I asked you the same question because you read a lot of books that year in a short amount of time. Was everything okay?
Yeah, it was like the height of the pandemic. So probably not.
So no.
Yeah. So
do you guys ever think about how crazy it is that we lived through that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Kayla, but like,
no, I think about that all the time.
I think about that all the time.
Like, we're gonna be like telling our grandkids about that. Yeah. Like,
well, couldn't leave our house. Crazy. Okay, so for some reason my brain could not narrow down my top 10, couldn't even narrow down top 15, couldn't narrow down top 20. I had 22 for some reason. So but I know I did mark like what I think are my top five from that list, like what I would go back and my 2021 self would, if she was had a gun to her head, these would be her top five. But I'll just rapid fire the other ones that I included on this list. All Your Perfects by Colleen Hoover.
Hey, that's a good book.
It is. Redeemed by Lauren Asher.
Slay.
The Wall of Winnipeg and Me by Mariana Zapata.
Good. Slay.
Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Have not read.
Me One either. True Loves by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey.
I can't fault you.
Yeah. You can't. Okay. Mm-mm. And then I had a lot of mafia romances on here because I also read all of Sophie Lark's mafia books. Or at least I read Kingmakers and then
Brutal Birthright.
Brutal Birthright. And then I read a couple from the series before that.
Snow and Ivan.
Thank you. Snow and Ivan. Mm-hmm. So I included
Underworld, it's called.
Yes, thank you. Bloody Heart, Savage Lover, The Bully, and The Rebel. So I included
four of them. That is crazy.
I know. I love that though.
Out of those four, if you had to pick one right now, what would it be?
I really liked Miles like a lot. So maybe The Rebel. I don't know.
I'll give it to you. Yeah.
But I also really liked Nico.
Yeah, so his book was, he's just a hot guy.
Good. All Roads Lead Here by Mariana Zapata.
Twins.
I also included, because I read Throne of Glass that year, and I really liked Throne of Glass, but I included The Tower of Dawn and Empire of Storms.
I'll give you that one.
And then the last one that I have to laugh at, because this author is problematic, and I would not recommend reading her, The Maddest Obsession by Danielle Laurie. That series, I read that whole series, but I was obsessed with The Maddest Obsession. What can I say? It was a fun time.
Dude, it was having its a good moment time. In 2021. I read that series so close as well.
To reading it, and then she got canceled.
Yeah.
And it felt like there's a moment from the TV show Awkward where they're like doing like a what if scenario. And I remember Maddie looking at Jenna and he's like, oop, dodged a bullet. And I immediately thought of that.
Yes.
Which like, it's not like a fun thing to joke about, but I was like, oop, all right, well, glad I didn't get upset.
Yeah.
Become obsessed
with it. But my top five people we meet on vacation would be on there because that was my first Emily Henry book. I read it like when it came out and then
Beach. But you read it right early after. Too because you got
did.
It
through
the month.
Yeah. And then again, since I read all Sarah J. Maas books that were out during that year, I included Crescent City 1 and Court of Mist and Fury. Crescent City 1 is still my personal favorite Sarah J. Maas book. Like, just on its own, I think it's her best book. Sinner is on there. And then, of course, The Simple Wild. I read The Simple Wild in 2021. Favorite still of all time. And then I read The Addicted series that year. So I read it in the summer of 2021. So
that's crazy.
I know. So my top three books from that series, though, are Kiss the Sky, Fuel the Fire, and Addicted After All. Fuel the Fire being the top one. I still think about that book all the time. There's even, so my TikTok is privated now, so
Is it?
It's not public anymore. No,
okay,
but that video is still up, like my top 2021 reads. But I also made a video for a specific scene in Fuel the Fire, and I was like looking back at it yesterday and I was like, oh my god.
You immediately so privated good. Your account.
no I privated it before that, but like I love that book so much.
One of my most popular videos on TikTok is about a quote from Fuel the Fire.
Like,
mine was a spicy one though.
Oh, mine was not spicy. Mine was a sad one. Mine was,
I know,
a closet
that book
scene.
Is like, they do that. So, anyways,
yeah,
the closet. Oh my god, I'll cry.
So good. I know. I can, like, that's like one of those books where I feel like I can like quote so many things from memory because there's just so many standout. Like, how do you sentence those words? Or see, I can't.
How do
even,
you sentence those words together?
I can't even string a sentence together. And yet Kristen Becker Ritchie were writing that like almost a decade ago. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then you get to Like Us and you're like, oh, what happened?
Like, wait a second, girls.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think most of those still hold up. I would say so.
What were your top five? You were having so much fun. What were the top five that you said?
The Simple Gundy Wild Head? Series. Sinner. Akamath. Crescent City 1.
Addicted.
I had six. My bad.
Okay.
Addicted in People.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. That's why you read so much, because you were just series after series after series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of series.
I am definitely not really embarrassed about my 2021 list. I thought I was going to be before we looked, and I was like, oh, these are not.
No, yeah.
Should we do 2022 now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so in 2022, I cheated and I broke up my rankings into series rankings and interconnected standalones rankings. So I ranked my top four series that I read that year, like books that you could not just pick one up in the middle and read and know what's going on. Like, you need to read the entire series. And then I ranked standalones. So I'll share my series rankings first. Oh, and by the way, in 2022, I'm going to say like almost all of these books hold up for me and my taste. Okay. Like, mm-hmm. I think I could reread almost every single book on this series and still give it 5 stars. Definitely not 100%, but almost. My series rankings, I had the Poppy War trilogy, still incredible. The Green Bone Saga, which is probably my favorite fantasy series of all time. The Addicted series, which I read in 2022, which my favorite from that is, if we're not counting Some Kind of Perfect, which I have a hard time including that in rankings with the series, Addicted After All and Feel the Fire are my top two. And then the Magnolia Park series, which at that point when we were making this video, we had read three of those books. We had read Magnolia Park, Stacey Hates, and Magnolia Park's A Long Way Home. Oh, and The Great Undoing came out that December. Yeah.
It came out at the very end of the year.
Yeah.
Very end of the year.
Yeah. So I ranked those four separately into a separate video. I even tried when I was making this list for this episode to try and insert them into, and I don't want to, and that's why I did that. Like, I don't want to try and put those in. But yeah, so then I had a list of 10 standalones, which I'll go kind of quick. Lessons in Chemistry was my number 10 of 2022.
I think we'll have a lot of similarities. We all became friends and like
we're reading each other's recs a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that one still holds up for me. I read Clap When You Land in 2022 because of Kendra's recommendation. Incredible, beautiful, stunning. Heartless by Elsie Silver was my number 8 in 2022. Which,
how do you feel about that?
I would still rate that book 5 stars for vibes. This compared to all the other books on my list, it makes me giggle a little bit because it is just such a different tone than most of the other books on this list for me. But like, I loved that book. And I still, like, I've reread that book multiple times and like, I love that book. And like, if somebody rates it 3 stars, I'll say, okay. If somebody rates it 4, I'll say, all right, that's fine. But me personally, I'm rating it 5.
Yeah.
You Made a Fool of Death with Your Beauty, which I think about that book all the time. And I think about this one specific part from that book all the time. So that one really stands up for me. Babel by R.F. Kuang was on my standalone list. Saint by Sierra Simone made my list at number 5. This was my favorite from the Priest series. Juniper Hill was my number 4, which I still do think that's Stephanie Perry's best book and my favorite of hers that I've read. Book Lovers by Emily Henry was at my number 3. Love that book. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by, what's her name? Gabrielle Zevin.
Yes.
Yeah. That book was at my number 2. That book made me feel so many things. Kayla gifted me that audiobook for my birthday that year. And Alone with You in the Ether was my number 1, which is still top 3 books all time forever for me. So that one definitely holds up.
Yes. I would say, all those hold up.
Yeah. That list is really reflective of, I think, my reading taste. Like, I've read so many incredible books that would bump books off of that list. Like, if I had to make an all-time favorite book list, I would say probably only about 2 or 3 of those are going to make my all-time favorite ever book list. But that year, I think those were, like, my favorite books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We're going to have a lot of the same, but I think the order will be different. Okay. So my number 10 that year was Book Lovers by Emily Henry.
Okay.
And I had actually read an arc of it in 2021, at the end of 2021, and I didn't want to include it in 2021. And then I ended up rereading it in 2022. So I was like, okay, like, I'll just put it at number 10 because I still think Book Lovers is her best written book. I say that all the time on here. So I could not include it in some way. My number 9 was Honey and Spice by Bala Bala Bala.
I love that book. That book
is hilarious and fun. Babe, where's book 2? I'm assuming it has to do with the publisher. I'm going to blame them for now.
I think it was a post on her Instagram last month that she said that she had finished final revisions on something. I don't know what the book is.
Okay.
But
let's get off Twitter.
There you go.
Yeah, let's get Let's open up a Word doc. She's always, her Twitter account is great, by the way. And then my number 8 was Terms and Conditions by Lauren Asher. I love that book. I love it so much. And I had like a different experience with it because I got to beta read it and like talk about stuff with Iris with her and like walk, like that whole process was just so much fun. And then like the reception of that was really fun. So that was cool. My number, 10, 9, 8. Number 7 was Fuel the Fire by Krista Emeka Ritchie. Great book. And then my number 6 was Addicted After All. So two addicted books, like really close together. And then number 5 was Lessons in Chemistry, which was a Kayla Ann recommendation. And it's so funny because we run into this all the time where she will tell me everything that happens in a book and then I won't read it until like months later. And so like I knew a thing was going to happen. And it still gutted me. Like, listening to it. If you have not listened to Lessons in Chemistry yet, you should. Because it's, like, an incredible audiobook. Like, I think that... I haven't heard that narrator since. Maybe she only does, like, lit fic. But, like, she killed it. Oh, I think about it all the time. And, like, my heart, like, hurts. Like, I should recommend that book to, like, my mom. You know? Like, she would love that. Right? Like, that's a good, like, mom book. Like, you know, like...
It's a good mom book.
It's a good mom book. Number 4 was Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Like Brandy said, incredible book. Makes you feel so much. I was trying to place it. That narrator, the one, the male narrator in that, he sounds like someone I've heard recently. And I'm like, is that Max? What's his name? Max Myers. It sounds like him. They have a very similar like tone. And Max Myers just did an audio that I just listened to that now I can't think of the name, but he did just do something, and it's something we all did, I think. I need to look it up, but he did the another romance I read earlier this year, but like I don't know, maybe my brain is playing tricks on me, but that's a good audio book too if you need an audio. The No Show is my number 3. That is a book that I think about all the time. Yes,
Max Myers just did The Pairing.
The Pairing, The Pairing, yes, by Casey McQuiston. I was like, I knew I just listened to something that they were in. But yeah, The No Show.
Great book.
Fantastic. Beth O'Leary, the writer you are. And like, I was thinking about this, like, you know, she's a writer because, well, this is for me. If a writer can go from writing in like third person and first person, not with even within the same book, just for different books, I'm like, you know how to write because you know what the story needs. Because other Beth O'Leary books, first person, but that book like needed that third person like outside view. And I'm like, oh, you just fucking knew. Even like with Cara Bastone, like her first series is written in third person and then everything else is like first. Like you just know. Rainbow Rowell too, you just know. You know. Ugh. Talent. And then I had a tie between at number 2 between Long Way Home and The Great Undoing. At the time, I could not decide which one I liked more. Now, The Great Undoing is like one of my favorite books of all time. I think about it all the time. But yeah, that was reading Magnolia. I'm honestly shook that Magnolia Parks itself, like, I don't know if I did a series ranking that year like you did, Brandy.
I don't think you did.
Yeah. But like, I think as a whole, that series is probably just like comfortably at number 2. And then my number 1 was Party World by Abby Jimenez. And I was looking at my TikTok that I did about it with this list. And I said that that book reminded me why I love stories and romance so much, and I think that that still holds up, and I think it's because she took that like Disney approach of like prince, princess, all that, like,
but
you just stick to the basics, right? Like when you stick to the basics, sometimes it just works, and you like personalize it to the characters, and it just, I have reread that book more times than I can count. And yeah, I mean, we talk about that book all the time, but that was my top 10 with
Gilmore to read.
Yes.
Our friend Haley at her podcast. And
we have an Abby deep dive that you, if you haven't listened to yet, you should go listen to it, because then you would just hear us wax poetic about all those books. But yeah, I think my list still, like all these books, I still hold near and dear to my heart. So
yeah, good list.
I had a top 12 that year. I didn't have a series ranking, but I had a top 12.
Kayla, do top 10 challenge 2024.
I know. I'm trying to remember if I did top 10 and... last year. I did a top 10 last year, I think.
Okay. I think you did too.
Okay. 11 and 12 were Indigo Ridge and Juniper Hill, also by Devney Perry. I personally prefer Indigo Ridge over Juniper Hill. but I included them both. Number 10 was You Deserve Each Other by Sarah Hogle. I love that book. That's a good book.
Brandy, when are you going to reread it?
Yeah. No, but I really love the book. It's like the perfect rom-com to me. Number 9 was Honey and Spice. So this is where we're getting into a lot of similar territory. 8, Book Lovers. Still my favorite Emily Henry book by far.
By far. Don't be rude to siblings.
It's by far for me too.
Oh.
By far is crazy. Okay, anyways. It's
easily my top Emily Henry book. Easily. Number 7 was Daisy Hates One. Number 6. Wait, what number am I on? Hold on.
I know, going in descending
reverse order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's correct. Yeah, number 6 was Daisy Hates One. Number 5 was What did I say? Number 7 was Daisy Hates One. I'm so sorry. Number 6 was Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. Okay. Number 5 was The No Show by Beth O'Leary. Number 4 was Lessons in Chemistry. And then I tied number 2 and 3 for Daisy Hates the Great Undoing and The Long Way Home. But I agree with Kendra. I would definitely pick The Great Undoing over The Long Way Home. It's also one of my favorite books of all time now. And then, of course, number 1 was Part of Your World by Abby Jimenez. It's like, what else could it be? So, yeah, I still love all those books.
It's a good list. Do you know what I just realized as you guys were talking about that being your number 1 is that I read yours truly in 2022, but I didn't put it on my 2022 list. But then because I read it in 2022, I didn't put it on my 2023 list. So it's never made one of my top 10s before.
It didn't make one of mine either because of that exact reason.
Mm-hmm. I always just include any arcs that I read the year before it comes out in my next one. If it deserves it, obviously. But I'm sure I included yours truly in my top list.
I think it depends on like Promise Me Sunshine. That's already number 1 for 2025. Like, that's gonna be hard. That's like the book to beat now for me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to include it this year. Let me not give out my plans for my top 10 list, but it will be on that list. And then I'm going to definitely include it again next year because it just deserves it. Oh, guys, I was literally like thinking about it so much last night. I was like talking to myself. It was so good.
Is there any books in your list that were not included on each other's lists? For me, You Made a Fool of Death Through Your Beauty, Heartless, and Babel were not on, or Alone with You in the Ether.
For me, it was You Deserve Each Other.
Terms and Conditions wasn't on any of y'all's for 2022.
Yeah. I'm not counting Saint because you guys put Sinner, so basically.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But I think that's like, and I mean like A Million Junes like made my 2021 list. Like, you guys just hadn't, Kayla still hasn't read it.
You haven't read A Million Junes?
Let's talk about that because that is a great book.
It's on PRH.
Kayla, you're not a YA person, so I can't even like.
I'm not huge on YA contemporary. Yeah, I don't.
But it's YA contemporary / like magical realism. It's so much fun, and like heartbreaking and devastating.
Julia Whalen does the audiobook, and it's on PRH. You should do it.
Okay.
But yeah, I think other than that, like a lot of our lists
are very similar.
I think especially for
2022. I think we do too.
We have good taste. That's what I'm
saying. Like, we have good taste.
When we decided to do this episode, I really thought I was going to be like, oh. And I, even looking at the books that didn't make my top list, but I was like scrolling through my 5 stars on Storygraph. No, I most of them stand up.
Yeah. Yes. And we didn't do 2023, but if you would like to hear us talk about 2023, we have an episode walking you through our picks from last year, and then like I said at the beginning of the episode, we're gonna have an episode walking you through our picks this year. And this year, how are you guys feeling about your top 10? We have like 2 months left of the year, and this is when people start to really consider a lot.
I don't know if I'm gonna be able to like order them. I didn't order
that's what makes me nervous either.
I did not order mine last year.
I think I ordered like the top 3, and everything else I was like, you can take it or leave it. Like, you want it to be is where it is, but the top or the top.
That's not true. I had a top book, but everything else below that, I was like, I love all these ones.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I I'm excited. I think I'll be able to do it. I do know that there are going to be some where I'm like, I'm not going to rank multiple Shadowhunters books, for example. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stick the Shadowhunters books somewhere in my ranking and then share my top three from that series. Like, I think that's the approach I'm going to take with like series this year. So that way I don't have to worry about like trying to fit 3, 4, or 5 books into a top 10. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I think I'll just expand my number again, you know, like I don't want to go above 15. I think 15 is like solid, but we'll.
I did last year make an honorable mentions video where I shared like 6 books that didn't make it into my top 10, but I still considered amazing books that people should read. I'll probably do that again. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. I feel like I'll be able to do it though. I'm going to include ARCs this year, I've decided.
I am not, but just because I.
It's an excuse to not have space.
So.
Yeah. It's interesting. Some books at the beginning of the year that I thought would make my top 10, like anticipated reads that are not in there. You know what I mean?
Are there any that you can share?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Belladonna made my top list of last year. And so I thought maybe Wisteria. I definitely wouldn't put Wisteria in my top 10. That's only one that is coming to mind at this exact moment. Like, I had really high hopes for Elsie Silver's new series, and I wouldn't put those in my top 10 either. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was any, like, anticipated that. Well, I was talking to, and, you know, we'll see if anyone listening, we'll see if this holds up when the episode comes out, when we record it. I was talking to Kayla and Brandy, and I was like, I don't know if, like, Just for the Summer would make my top 10 just because, like, I love it. Oh, my God. Amazing. I think it would make, like, a top 15. But, like, I think other books have just had – I've thought about other books more. And I think last year and this year, that's how I've approached making this list of, like, how much space have you taken up in my brain? Especially if I'm – like, a lot of these are 5 stars. But, like, once you have to, like, rank them, it's, like – or, like, compile the list. It's, like, okay, how much real estate? Because sometimes I have read a book that it's, like, 5 stars, and then I don't – think of, like, I move on, you know, but some books I'm like still sitting there.
That one will definitely be in my top 10. I do think about that book, so I think that Emma is, like, we talked about in our Abby deep dive, Emma is,
yeah, she's great,
probably my favorite Abby female character. So that's a nice little look back, you guys.
Yeah,
and we've always had good taste.
Yeah, I wish we could put the Charlie XCX, like, rewind song. Like,
sometimes. That's all. Rewind.
On Instagram, I'll put that song on the episode announcement.
Perfect.
Just for fun. Yeah, that's a good song.
Let us know if there are any books from your past list that you would change the ranking on, or the ones that you think really stand up. Did you have good taste in 2021 as well? Let us know. Follow us on Instagram over at Bring Your Own Pod. We'd love to see you there. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review 5 stars, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.